Hello, and welcome to There's Hope with Homeopathy. This monthly show airs the third Friday of each month and focuses on classical homeopathic treatment, how it can benefit your entire family, and how it can be a curative therapy in the treatment of autism. My name's Amy Lansky, and I'm broadcasting today from Portola Valley, California, in the San Francisco Bay Area. Today's show is going to air on September 21st, 2007. Well, hello, everyone. It's the fall. I can't believe it. My kids are back in school. Actually, Max is back in school, and Isaac is going to be going back to college in just a couple weeks. And it's really, to me, it feels like the beginning of a new year. So before I begin the show today, it's a very personal kind of show today. I just want to review some of the things I always talk about at the beginning of the show. As most of you know, this show is based on my book, which is called Impossible Cure, The Promise of Homeopathy. And if you want to learn more about homeopathy, the best thing to do is really go and buy my book and also listen to the archives of this show. And all of that is available on my book website, which is impossiblecure.com. On that website, you'll find a page about the treatment of autism with homeopathy, the archives of this show, which are accessible from the right-hand side of the homepage, the Cure Stories database, where readers and visitors have contributed their own personal experiences of homeopathic healing, of course, how to buy the book singly or in bulk. And there's pointers to referral lists for homeopathic practitioners. Those are on the autism page. And, of course, you can always email me with questions. And the best thing to do is send the email to Lansky@impossiblecure.com, which is L-A-N-S-K-Y. Or you can send it to alansky@autism1.org. Doesn't matter. Goes to the same place. For those of you who aren't English speakers, we do have the German version of Impossible Cure is out. A Greek version is coming out soon, in the next 6 months anyway. And I just am in the process of signing a contract with an Arabic publisher. So hopefully in a couple of years there'll be an Arabic edition of Impossible Cure. So, on to today's show. Oh, before I go on to that, next month's show, I'm planning to begin a focus on on vaccination, something that is so important to our community. And I'm trying to get homeopath Kate Birch on the show, and maybe Randy Neustetter. I haven't contacted him yet. Maybe we'll do a couple shows about vaccination. And these two people are experts on the topic of vaccination and also homeopathic approaches to dealing with vaccination damage or alternatives to vaccination, etc. So that's in the next couple months. But today is going to be kind of a very personal, I guess, one-way conversation between me and you out there about the psychological and spiritual aspects of having a child with autism. One reason I decided to do this show now is that to me this seems like the beginning of the school year, and it's also a spiritual time of reflection. For example, this is the beginning of the Jewish New Year. Week is the beginning of the Jewish New Year, and the month preceding that is a time of reflection to prepare for the new year. Also, this year Ramadan begins on the Jewish New Year, same day, because they're both on lunar calendars. And that is also a period of reflection, obviously, for Muslims. So for Christians out there, think of this period as similar to Lent. I guess that's Catholicism. But I think in general, the beginning of the school year feels like New Year to all of us, and a time to look at our families and thinking about what we can do for ourselves and for our children. So that's why I picked now for this show. I was thinking about doing it around Christmas time, but I decided to do it now. I go into this show with a bit of trepidation because really the parents in the autism community I know give so much and suffer so much for their children. And who am I to say anything to you? Because after all, my son began recovering within less than a year from when we really realized something was going on with him. So we really didn't have time to develop a sense of hopelessness. Really, we found our solution in homeopathy when we were barely realizing what was going on. So my family didn't have to suffer financially. And also, there weren't many options out there for autistic children when this all began for me, which was in the early 90s, like 1994, 1995. And so really, you know, I wasn't faced with what many of you are faced with, which is so much to choose from. So just sort of the confusion of it all, too. It was more like there was nothing much out there, and I tried the few things that just came my way. So I know that many of you can teach me maybe more than I can teach you about this subject. Still, here I am, and Max is 16 years old, learning to drive. He's in high school. He's fine, and I'm still here trying to do what I can for this community because of my own sense of thankfulness to homeopathy and, you know, devotion to homeopathic medicine, not just for autism, but for anything, and to help the world, help all of us heal, including myself, including you. This is not just about autism. And as we go into this discussion, too, I really want to emphasize a few points. One is that I do not believe, and I hope none of you will interpret anything I say today as implying that our psychological or spiritual feelings cause autism. I really believe that autism is not even a genetic disease, which the allopathic world is trying to convince us, I think, to absolve themselves of what they've done to our children. But I believe that, you know, primarily it's being caused by vaccines, by the environment, by drugging, by these external factors, and that is why more and more children are being affected. But the question is, in their cure, I do think that these psychological and spiritual elements are a factor in helping them heal. And so the question is, what can we do to help not just them, but ourselves in this dimension? And in the end, it is whatever helps us will also help our child. So we are asked, given this situation, we are asked to do more than parents who aren't facing these problems. We have to dig deep, and it's not easy. So it's a huge challenge, and as many of us have discovered, it can also be a gift because it's forcing us to look deep within. You know, with each challenge comes an opportunity for growth and healing. So that's more what this is about. What can we do that will help us and that will help our kids? That's beyond the call of duty, really, beyond what most parents are asked to do. Another thing I want to emphasize is that never should we blame ourselves. And I know a lot of us blame ourselves for having vaccinated our kids, for whatever we did unknowingly. And all I can say is, it's not your fault, and that blaming yourself will not contribute to anything. In fact, it won't help you, and it won't help your child, because I really believe that whatever helps you, the parent, be at peace is going to be healing to your child as well. So as much as you can, heal yourself as well. So why am I talking about this? Well, homeopathy, I mean, this is a show about homeopathy after all. Homeopathy, I believe, is in many ways a spiritual form of medicine. I mean, just, you know, at a mundane level, the ultra dilutions, as we know, these remedies are so dilute that not even a molecule is present. These remedies are not working on a chemical level. They are working on some, maybe it's at the quantum level, on some kind of energetic plane. The homeopaths call it the dynamic realm, and the vital force. And last month's show, Al Squitieri said it's God's medicine. I really do believe that homeopathy is God's medicine. And so there is something inherently spiritual about homeopathy. And I think any disease, but somehow especially autism, there's some kind of, maybe it's not just autism. I think it's any disease. There's an important component of healing that has to do with the spiritual realm. And homeopathy can access that, and there may be things we can do also on the spiritual realm to sort of aid the remedy or not block the remedy from doing what it's trying to do. You know, once a skeptic of homeopathy actually said to me, but I guess he was a spiritual skeptic, said to me, you know, homeopathy didn't cure your son, you cured your son. And I really don't believe that's true. I wouldn't be doing this and everything I've done if I believed that was true. But I think there's also a grain of truth to it. I think, like I said, that the remedy provides a curative agent, but the spiritual role of the parent is also, I think, a critical element for success. I'll talk more about sort of an image for this, but think of the remedy as providing a trigger and setting something in motion. And I think that what we do on this psychological or spiritual realm can help keep that action of the remedy in motion, or can do things that sort of block the effects of the remedy. Not completely, perhaps, but don't help it do its maximum beneficial effect. So that's really why I'm doing this show, too, because I think that there's ways that we, with our own energy, our own spiritual and psychological feeling within ourselves, can help our children heal. Okay, and I'm using both words, psychological and spiritual, because I don't want I know all of you out there are coming from all your own various religious or spiritual backgrounds. I don't believe there's any specific spiritual or religious background. It doesn't really matter where you're coming from, because we're all the same. We're all people. And even if you don't believe in God and you don't get into a spiritual thing, then you can maybe listen to what I'm saying from just the psychological point of view. But I think that you'll understand what I'm saying no matter what your background is and what your leanings are. So I just want to emphasize that. And there's another interesting aspect for me doing this show today, because I personally am embarking on a new project which is not really related to my work in homeopathy, although it is sort of tangentially related, which is the area of consciousness. I wrote a paper many years ago. Some of you might want to actually read it. It's on my personal website, which is, you can find the link to it actually my personal website from the author page of ImpossibleCure.com, but my personal website's called RenResearch, RenResearch.com, and there's a paper there called Consciousness as an Active Force. So you can read that at renresearch.com/consciousness.html. Anyway, I wrote this paper in 1996. It was before, I guess it was after we embarked on homeopathy, but before I even was thinking about writing my book about homeopathy. It's this model of consciousness is pretty far out. I got to warn you, it's pretty far out. It's a little technical. And it's gotten a lot of attention over the years. And in the past couple of years, I decided to write a book that sort of takes that paper as a seed and goes from there. This show today, in a way, is me embarking on talking to you about some of the ideas I have that emanate from that paper that I want to put in my book in a very small way. In some ways, this is in line with a lot of stuff that's just come out recently, like in our pop culture, in The Secret, which I'm sure most of you have heard about, and which is the idea is that our consciousness is not just a passive thing, like being consciously aware, but there's also an active aspect to our consciousness that is able to affect the world around us. And that includes healing ourselves and others and bringing various changes into our lives. So you could also think of today's show as an experimental foray into that sphere, into how can we use our consciousness to help heal ourselves and heal our children. So you might view this show as a way of thinking about how you can go into a period of self-examination or self-exploration that would provide growth for you and your family and your child. So let's begin with about what autism is all about. And I read an article. It was just fascinating, and now I wish I had written down the reference to this, about what the sensation or state of autism is for a child. And what they were saying, maybe it was written by somebody who was autistic, but I can't remember where this was, but it was sort of from the perspective of the child, what it feels like. And what they described is that it feels like being in a box or feeling very cut off in this smaller insulated realm. And so imagine being in a small room or a little cave or something. And you know, there's a lot of evidence that supports this because of the behavior of autistic children. For example, if you were used to being in this very insulated realm, then, you know, harsh stimuli from the outside would be very disturbing to you, this sensitivity to noise and sensations, which many of the children have. Or upsetting emotional energy or events, either externally or internally, like if a child is very agitated or afraid, then might cause stimming as a way of self-soothing or as a way of maybe pushing the stimuli out. It also explains why many autistic children as they're going through the process of cure, will actually stim more initially. I often have parents write to me and they say, well, my kid is beginning to talk a little more and be more social, but they're stimming more. And just imagine now that you are a kid like this and you are trying to come out of this place. That's pretty anxiety provoking for you. It's kind of scary. And if stimming is a way that you use to soothe yourself, that could explain why there's sometimes an increase in stimming initially during a process of cure. So if autism is like being in that situation, Imagine yourself in this sort of closed space, safe cocoon. What would be an enticement for you to come out, and what would be a disincentive? What would be tend to keep you in there or make you afraid to come out? So that's my question today is, how can we bring them out into our world very gently? What can we do to open the door? I'm also reminded of, you know, I'm sure many of you know of the Sunrise program, Barry Neal Kaufman and his wife's program. And initially, part of this program is they brought their son into like the bathroom, a very small room, and worked with him very quietly, gently in this room without a lot of outside stimulus, and slowly kind of brought him out of his own cocoon. So, I mean, they literally kind of tried to go into the box and slowly guide him out. And I think that's what homeopathy is doing. It's opening that door. It's giving the little nudge out. But the question is, what can we do to help foster that, you know? Now, from a very obvious kind of mundane point of view, we can just, it's really obvious what some things are that would affect this process, and that is the family atmosphere. So if a family situation is very unstable and sort of scary to the child, that's obviously going to be a detriment to cure. And I've heard this from many homeopaths, that in families with a lot of instability and disruption, that they have less success with those cases. And unfortunately, just the strains of the autism in and of itself often causes this kind of instability, financial instability, marital instability, instability in the family. You know, it's hard, and I understand that. But if some way we can create a cocoon of some sort or some kind of stability for the child, that is going to help them heal. It could be a specific caregiver, like a grandparent, a babysitter, you, some situation in the child's life that is very soothing, that's very stable, predictable, consistent, cheerful, loving, hopeful, something that's going to feel safe and stable for that child. The more that you can create that kind of environment, the better the chance the remedy is going to help your child heal. So that's one on a sort of obvious level. And, you know, you put your thinking head on. If it's very hard for you to provide that for your child, then just try to think of some way in which you can, or make time each day that's like that, and see what you can do. So that's sort of in the outer realm, in the outer world. But what my real focus today is on that inner world. And that, in some ways, may be even more important. But it's so subtle, very subtle. But there's something really subtle about autistic kids, isn't there? I really think that they're very psychic. Even if they seem tuned out, they really know what's going on in a different way, in a kind of in a psychic way, in this energetic realm. And so... we got to ask ourselves, what is the energetic environment that is in our family, is in the world in which our child lives? What can we do to improve that energy realm, that psychological, that spiritual, that energy realm, for our child? And, you know, a lot of times we don't know what we're doing. Most of us are going crazy just surviving in this world. So in a way, this process requires us to get quiet and look deep within and try to sense what is the energy going on here within ourselves. That's really all we can do, is look in ourselves and say, what energy am I living in? Am I creating? And that's why I say, you know, this process of reflection first and foremost is to help yourself, because if you can help yourself, you can help your child. Whatever you do to help yourself will help your child. Heal yourself. So, you know, the first thing that I really recommend everybody do is somehow develop a kind of meditative practice. And I know you may not have a lot of time for this. Maybe you could just take one class in meditation, you know. And if you could spend 5 or 10 minutes a day meditating, that alone, I think, would have an amazing effect in and of itself. Another practice that I recommend is called emotional freedom technique. You can find out about that. It's sometimes called EFT. Go to emofree.com. I think it's .com. It might be .org, but E-M-O-F-R-E-E. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about my own exploration about this in the early days when we were realizing about Max's problems. And for me, I had to look deep within. You know, obviously I was like trying to be a super mom and help him in every way I could. But when I looked within, what did I find? And for me personally, I found that I felt rejecting towards Max, you know. I didn't want a son with these problems. And some of this was rooted in the fact that my own brother is schizophrenic. So I grew up in a family with a brother who had very serious psychiatric problems. And I saw what it did to my mother, how hard it was for her and to me and to my family. And I just sort of was like, man, I don't want this. I don't want it. I don't want this. That was my first reaction. And I had to admit that to myself. I mean, who wants that, these kinds of problems? We all react in different ways, though. And so I really had to look at that and cultivate a sense of love and acceptance towards my son. Instead of, even though, you know, outwardly, of course, I loved him, you know, but I could sense that inside myself, I had this feeling inside myself. So I had to work on that and to help myself. And along with that is, there's no way to do that also except by also loving yourself and forgiving yourself for those feelings, because punishing yourself doesn't create a feeling of love. It only creates, you know, more negative emotions. So you have to begin with an acceptance of whatever your feelings are, whatever they may be, because there's lots of other feelings parents have, obviously. First, meditating on them. And I suggest going into what was called a loving kindness meditation of open heart and love, and then bring yourself first into that meditation and love yourself and accept yourself and forgive yourself, because you are just trying to survive. I mean, you are just trying to survive the best you can. That's the first thing. And if you can forgive and love yourself, then you can start creating this more energy field of love for your child. So like they always say it, but it's really true. You can't suppress or sublimate your feelings, whatever they may be. You can only go through them. If you try to suppress your feelings or run away from them, you know, you may not be conscious of them, but the energy is still there. So the only way is to really look at them, accept them, love them, forgive, and then go through them. That's the only way. I really believe that, and I just know it's true. Meet and love those feelings, because they are trying to protect you. And then and then you can get through them. So what other kinds of feelings might we have towards our autistic children? I mean, it really varies, like, from person to person. But, you know, people write to me, I've witnessed lots of things, and I've seen other patterns that parents tend to get into. And so, and like, once again, no blame here, no blame, because we're all just trying to survive. But you might want to think about these thoughts, these ideas for yourself, see if they fit. Is there any resonance there? And you just think about this. Another phenomenon I've seen is, you know, is parents who work so hard for their kids, you know, work so hard building up organizations, programs, methods around autism, that in a way, if their kid wasn't autistic anymore, they would lose a piece of themselves, you know. They've gotten very invested in the autism world, and so and around this identity for themselves, which has worked very much to the benefit of their child, but in a way, it would be hard to leave it as well. So there's another phenomenon that you see is, do you really want to have your child not be autistic anymore? I know it. Consciously, we all do, of course. But you got to examine that too. You know, have you gotten, embedded in that state? Can you envision, can you be in the state of leaving all that, you know? I think in a reverse way, I was facing that in, you know, my trepidation about writing my book. Here I was writing about how Max got well. I was afraid I was going to jinx him, you know, and that he would get sick again if I told people that he got well. So, you know, this is sort of a reverse version of that. So, but think about these thoughts, these things, you know, do they resonate at all with you? If you have an energy in you that kind of blocks the path towards a future in which your child is completely free of autism, then you got to look at it, accept it, love yourself because you're working, because you've really done this out of love, you know. You're in that state out of love. And then maybe tell yourself, well, you know, I could move to a new state, you know, a non-autistic state, a world where there's that's not there. Another phenomenon I've seen is that parents basically give up. They give up out of fear of disappointment, and, you know, they don't want to be disappointed. They give up because it's just too much, you know. There's lots of ways of giving up. Like sometimes parents feel that autism is fine, you know. It's fine for my kid to be autistic, and autism is good. Autism is, you know, I mean, there's truth to all these things. Every state has its gifts, but the question is, in this world, is it better for your child to be autistic or not autistic? I mean, so, you know, I believe I wanted my child to live a life free of that. So but I do think if you get into a state where you've decided that it's just fine to stay where your child to stay where they are, that in a sense you've given up, that too you cannot envision the future in which the child is not autistic. If you're in a state of what, of not complacency, but contentment, you know, it's good to be content, but it'd be better to be in a state of positivism where you can see even better future. So that's really kind of where we get into this realm of that the secret is talking about. So there's really two elements that I'm talking about. One is acknowledging your true feelings, your inner feelings. And really, you may not be aware of these feelings, you know, but in the meditative state, they may come up. And then forgiving yourself, loving yourself, actually loving these feelings, because whatever these feelings you have are, they're there to help you and protect you. And then try to heal, you know, heal yourself. And this is not just about your kid. This is about your whole life. Whatever these feelings are, these same things I'm saying will apply to everything in your life. And then B, the second thing is develop whatever you can to develop a vision, a true attitude, a vision of an outcome of recovery for your child. Put yourself in a state where your child is no longer autistic. Create that state in yourself. Put that out there, and somehow, perhaps the world will find a way to bring you to it. In some cases, the world is mysterious. Our kids can't recover. There are cases like that, or the world, I don't know. But if it's possible, I really do believe that if it's possible, it's important to put that goal out there, to create that state in your heart, and that will help bring you there. I really recommend this book by Esther Hicks called The Amazing Power of Deliberate Intent. I read it this summer. It was incredibly helpful to me. It's most of the book is exercises and examples to help you do this. I found it just amazing. Here's some more recommendations in this sphere. If, you know, this is very difficult for you, try to be around people who help you with all these elements. Try to expose yourself and your child to people who can hold this vision of healing for you and for your child. Take care of yourself, like I keep saying, and your family and your other children as well. That's a whole other piece of this puzzle, you know. As a child who grew up in a family with a schizophrenic brother, I was very aware of the effects of all this on my other child as well. And then do what you can to develop some kind of meditative practice. It can be just spending 5 minutes alone, you know, and quiet, being in your body. To me, the first step towards meditative practice is to be out of your thought and into your body. So just sit in the chair, feel your feet and your seat and your back. That's like I've studied with a meditation teacher now for 3 years, and if you can just remember three words: feet, seat, back. Sit in your chair, feel your feet, feel your seat, and feel your back against the chair. This will bring you pretty quickly into your body, and as your mind wanders, just think feet, seat, back, feet, seat, back. If you could do that for 5 minutes and just keep bringing yourself feet, seat, back into your body, it brings you into the now. That alone creates a sense of peace and meditation in you. Do that for 5 minutes every day. You'll see some kind of change. And into that space, as you get used to doing that, bring in a sense of loving kindness, open heart loving kindness. And into that space of open heart and loving kindness, bring yourself in there, because heal yourself and bring your child. And then within that space, again, a vision of a future where your child is becoming more free of autism. One last thought here, which is another practice that I did with Max, was Reiki, which is a form of hands-on healing. I think it was before even had Max. I took a couple of these Reiki classes. It's spelled R-E-I-K-I. And it's a kind of a very mysterious type of healing where you're given an attunement, which is supposed to unlock some healing ability in you, and then you can apply it to others. It's not an active form. You just kind of do a sort of an invocation, and then you put your hands on, and then you let some energy flow through you into the person to be healed, and that person can be you. You can use it for self-healing as well. But what I did used to do with Max, I would practice on myself, but when I would try to help Max, I would do it when he was sleeping. I wouldn't put my hands on him, but kind of just over him. And what I did during that time was bring in this vision of his complete healing. And I wonder, too, if I was somehow creating an energy of healing for him, creating that future of healing for him through during this Reiki experience. So that's just another thought about these hands-on energy healings. I really think they can be powerful too. And in a way, what is prayer? I talk to many people, pray. Prayer is this thing as well, creating that vision of healing. It's within the same realm, prayer. But pray for yourself as well, because I think that's the first place. Acknowledge your state, love yourself, heal yourself, and that will help heal your child. So I hope this was helpful. I hope, I'm sort of nervous that some people will be upset what I've said. But really, I only have love for all of you and respect and admiration for all of you. So I hope this was helpful, and I'm out of time. So remember, visit the ImpossibleCure.com website. Also, if you're interested in homeopathy, in supporting the cause of homeopathy, you should join the National Center for Homeopathy, which is at nationalcenterforhomeopathy.org. And remember, be well, and there truly is hope with homeopathy.